This is Martin Scorsese, and
this shot was problematic.
Yeah, boy, we're in trouble now.
And that's the way it came out. It was really nice.
On this day, I remember was a breaking point with me.
Of course, it's not true.
Want to do my nails?
Yes. That was everything. Yeah, okay.
Who is one of the great all-time people?
They broke the mold there, didn't they?
Especially clenched.
You know, occasionally in art, you get lucky.
A little device that was in my nose, I put in the chocolate, gave it to the rat, and the rat is now running around with the device.
Yeah. Time flies when I'm with you guys.
I hope that everyone enjoys listening to people talking about something that they shouldn't be talking about.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Hey, I'm recording this. Is that okay?
Yeah, just maybe not the first.
Okay, one. I'll try to cut that part, and then I'll just jump cut to now.
And then
the mystery will live on.
I don't want anyone looking me up, you know?
Of course, we don't want people looking you up. No one needs to know who you are or where you live or what you do. But we're going to talk about any of that stuff. Well, thanks for hopping on with me, Mia.
Yeah, for sure.
We haven't talked in a minute. It's been a few years. Did you kind of go offline a little bit or not really?
In 3 years?
Since we talked, or kind of not really?
I spent a lot of time offline in 2020. Actually, I kind of just go offline whenever I see fit. But in 2020, like particularly,
did you went off
school stuff and then
school stuff
working. So
yeah. So we haven't talked in a minute, but the last like 6 months, I've noticed a lot of video work on social media and online that I'm very interested in, that I really like. And that really reminded me of your work, you know, the stuff that you were making maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And so I just reached out to you because I wanted to talk to you about that. And I actually recently, you did post a few things that were kind of in a video mode, you know, they're not exactly the style that you had going 5 years ago, which is totally normal for an artist. But it just made me think like, oh, well, looks like Mia's back in the mix. So I'm going to reach out to her and I want to talk to her about, you know, those films that you were making all those years ago and what you're working on now stuff. And I'm kind of trying to do a little survey of this cinema language, this kind of newer language that I'm seeing. And so, yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, get some, just have a conversation with you about it and ask you like kind of when you started making videos and what brought you to making videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm super curious about what videos you're talking about that reminded you of some of my older work. Or just like the style or something.
So, there's like been a few kind of like moments in the last 5 years. Like, I have a close friend, and we're actually exes, named Honor Levy. I don't know if you know Honor. But when Honor and I were going out, she was making a bunch of like TikToks that kind of had a similar chaotic energy, that, you know, featured like speed ramps and a lot of jump cuts, but hers were really filtered. They were operating through like kind of like TikTok filters and a lot of kind of double exposures, which you also did sometimes. She has a friend named Ivy who made like a thesis film, and has made several kind of animated films since then that also have some of these techniques, but they're often done through animated modes. And then there was someone I followed like 2 years ago whose handle was like Miao Zedong, and she made a lot of videos that were like really, and yeah, funnier, that were really like anarchic and chaotic. And recently, there's someone that I've become friends with named Kira, who makes videos that also have, she uses a lot of analog cameras and older cameras, but she edits them in this way. And then someone also named Victoria Davidoff. So it's mostly women, young women, who are applying this kind of chaotic, anarchic, hyper-pop kind of energy to things that often feature themselves or diaristic footage that is really, for lack of a better expression, kind of like vibey, but extremely adept at like montage and sound design and camera work. And it's very exciting and it feels cool and fun and not really post Vine or post TikTok. Obviously it's post all these things, post Tumblr, post Vine, post TikTok, but it has its own unique energy. And so I'm just trying to kind of investigate a little bit like where it comes from and what it's all about. And I'm interested in it too. Like I'm making things like that. I might talk to this guy named Weston Allen who makes music videos that are a little bit in this mode, but I don't know. Just seems to be something stuck out to me.
Interesting. Yeah. I think I'm sort of familiar with some of those names, but I haven't like looked at videos.
I mean, is that okay? Like, I'm kind of making a grouping in my head. I haven't looked through all of social media.
There's a lot of comparisons between like anybody's work. I mean, I definitely think like self-portraiture and like, I think women are exceptional at self-portraiture. And I tend to think of videos of like narratives of oneself or whatever it is. I don't really know how to describe the genre of things that I've done before. I would say they are like self-portraits, or at least like trying to show something that's happening inside. And the most reliable actress is yourself, which is what I would always tell people when people would say, like, why are you always in your things? But now that I've kind of shifted around mediums, I think I'm just interested in me. And I think now I'm like an adult, more adult, and I feel more comfortable being like, oh, because I like the way that I look. I like the way that I act. I like the way I sound and express myself. And like, way back then, I think I was like, I didn't really have any good explanations because people would be like, oh, like selfie art. And I always thought that was so offensive because I was like, well, like if it's not me and if I was shooting someone else, then I would be booking like fashion work and I don't want to shoot like other people's stuff. I just want to shoot my stuff. Right. So I think that's like,
right. Is it better to suddenly objectify someone else than objectify yourself? I mean, like, you know, you're completely in touch with your own experiences and then you become the medium in a weird, you know, like your persona and your control of your persona and your image and whatever your style becomes fluid with the like kind of stylistic choices, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like fun. Like, I feel like I've always been into performing to some degree, but I was never really competitive. I'm still not super competitive. So I'm just having fun. And back then I was documenting the ways I have fun and I'm still doing it. Like I'm posting a dancing video like all the time because that's just like one thing I do to have fun. But I would say like, I don't know, I guess I feel like the videos I was making back then, so much energy went into them.
And right, yes.
Because I remember the last time we spoke, I remember talking to you actually after I invited you to my apartment. Alice screamed at Metrograph and I was like, come over, I want to ask you questions. But
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I remember thinking around that time, like, am I going to make more films? Like, what is going to happen? You know, like I was just very not sure about how my filmmaking was going to progress. But I feel now more comfortable with the fact that like I really just like making videos and like stringing together like shorter form videos. And I have made like longer short films than like a 30-second video, but I actually prefer short form video and like filmmaking. It's really fun.
I think exactly what you just said, it is filmmaking, like, and it might even be more relevant filmmaking than a traditional like narrative feature or something in the year 2023. And it might be more relevant than a movie starring Brad Pitt and Jennifer Lawrence in a way, like a movie starring, directed, edited, and presented by Mia Karen. Do you know what I mean? Like there's something more, not just personal, but more relatable and also more aspirational. Like, you know what I mean? Like people would watch movies or listen to music on a certain level to be aspirational. Like, oh, that could be me. But now like celebrities feel extremely like not only distant, but like irrelevant and kind of fake. So like watching a Mia Karen video, someone says, even me, I say, oh, that could be me. If only I filmed myself in a cool way and edited it and like worked. You were saying, something I was interested in is that you were saying you put a lot of time and energy into making those videos. And I think that's like super apparent and super clear in all of these videos that I kind of talked to you about, and yours, of course, as well. And I guess my question is, one, like, what got you into editing and what got you into filming stuff? Like, did you have influences? Like, obviously, if someone comes at you, says, why do you make yourself the model of your own thing? It's like, have they ever heard of like Cindy Sherman? You know, and is that someone you were familiar with?
Yeah. I'm an artist that doesn't like, I don't really consume that much stuff. Like only this year I've been able to like start watching shows, and it's been really fun because I like put more things out. Like I do more things than like I take in. So yeah. Hard for me to name like influences on the spot or something like that. But I think that my documentation of myself or like my life started at a really young age. Like I'm a very very prolific diarist, and I have logs and just tons and tons of documentation of everything that's ever happened to me since I was 11.
So that's like you have like a blog, or you have like a Tumblr, or you have like a
paper.
That's what I'm asking. So pen and paper.
Yeah. And I still do it. And so, yeah, I just always felt like there's a ton of stuff inside of me that needs to get out. But by the time I was like, I guess, yeah.
Are you compulsive? Do you feel like you're compulsive about it?
Yeah.
I think about people who are prolific, and I think like, damn, that's like some cool type of like mental superpower / potentially illness or something. Like, you know, just through time, people who just like cannot stop pouring out stuff. But those are my favorite artists, like people just who are so prolific, you know?
Yeah, my favorite like artist in general is super prolific as well. Yeah,
who is that?
Future.
What, Future? Future. Yeah, cool.
Really prolific. But I think from the diaries, I was also into just like the portrayal of personality itself, because I was like a chat room moderator when I was younger. I also ran Neopets layout site and layout site. So I was very much like very online at a young age, and was very like into this idea of anonymity. And I was like, I had a pretty, I don't know, I would like to think it wasn't strict or Catholic, but it was both strict and Catholic, my upbringing. And so I didn't
Catholic.
Yeah, like I was not like encouraged to meet people and to go out and do things. So I was on the computer a lot. And so I got pretty into just like portraying oneself through like some sort of, you know, like I spent a lot of time working on making sure my MySpace layout looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah. But but something like MySpace, even though that you could use like a username handle, it wasn't exactly anonymous, right? You very much curated your photos along with the things you wrote. And similarly, while moderating a chat room is on some level anonymous, the videos that you ended up making were, like you said, like foregrounding your personhood and stuff. And you might use like a stage name or something like that. But it when I saw it, at least, it was associated with your Instagram. So that definitely, it's performative, but it's not necessarily anonymous, right?
Well, I think that's kind of what I was getting to, where like suddenly it kind of snapped into a new reality. Doxed on 4chan when I was 11. Oh,
you got doxed on 4chan when you were 11?
When I was 11.
Okay, so how do you discover 4chan when you're 11?
I had a friend that was more my sister's friend. He was just like a couple years older than me, and he was on the board a lot, and he would send me just different threads on the random board, and I started using it. And of course I was like, not really sure what was going on.
Like how to use it or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like a forum junkie. I spend most of my day now in 2023 perusing old forums. Yeah, I like forums. It's just like a way that I like to read stuff, I guess. And I like Reddit and stuff like that. But so I got doxxed on 4chan. And so all these random people were writing me. And of course, they were like creeps, losers, idiots. Like,
of course,
of whatever society was at that time.
But you were one of them too, as an 11-year-old girl.
Exactly, because I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
So I... But I remember thinking like, oh, wow, like I'm getting attention and I'm getting attention by being like I'm just sitting on my computer. Like I don't have to go meet these people. So yeah, I guess it was like very incel energy of me to be like, I'll just keep being online forever. But I got into taking, like using a camera and taking pictures of myself like around the same age. And they were all like appropriate. But, you know, I would carefully spend time crafting the image, like making sure I had the right angles and stuff. So
was that for just like your own kind of self-reflection, or did you understand like, okay, I'm creating like an image of a persona and this is what I'm going to present to X audience? Like,
well,
did
your I don't think I knew that necessarily, but I was like very acutely aware of how things looked. Like I really wanted things to look good on websites. And
where does that come from?
Wanting things to look good on websites?
Like where do you, that's just kind of a personal aesthetic thing, huh? That's just saying like, I think this looks good. That's my definition of what looks good. And now I want things to look like how, like you know, where do you think that comes from? There's no like right or wrong answers.
Well, I think just like, it's hard to explain. What it feels like for me, but there is just like a like something satisfaction, like just like a big satisfaction to making something beautiful. And like,
but where does the standard, I'm not asking you to define this, but I'm just going to say these fucking questions out loud, where does the standard of beauty come from, you know,
like for me personally?
I guess so. I mean, that's the only thing we can know, our own opinions,
right? For me, like a standard of beauty would be like, usually at any point that I made any video, even like however it might have looked to another person, of course, it's something very different. But I remember it was like a way to deal with like negative emotions, to sort of create like fun out of them, or like to try and capture like a repeated feeling that I just, because even now, like I'm trying to work on other forms of art and I'm just like, nothing's gonna do it like a video. Like I need sound, I need something to move, I need to be in it. And then I also need other images, right? Like, because I think it's just the closest thing to real life, right? Is making a video. And because, I mean, you can have all sorts of other things, and I'm trying to challenge myself by making different forms of art. But I do think
videos kind of, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that for me, it's like a bottled feeling. It's like a feeling that I can drink somehow by looking at a video, because you just can't get as much instantaneous stimuli from any other kind of art. Like other people, they might say that, but like, I just don't think that's true. If someone feels that way when they look at like a static painting and it's the environment that does it for them, good for them. I think that I have like a really personal relationship with like videos itself. Like such an intense affection for like Instagram reels. They're so funny to me.
Yeah,
I'm the person that sends like 100 reels a day to my friends because they're so funny.
Yeah, rather than like TikToks or something, right? You send reels.
Well, I actually did TikTok for a year, but I was making every recipe I saw and it made me get bad, so I had to delete it because I was like, oh my gosh, these lifestyles. And I got really into manual keyboards, so I bought like a really manual keyboard.
Like
and
that makes the big click noise and shit.
I have one like
right. Yeah, let's see it. Let's see it.
Yeah, I
or got let's hear it. Make a noise.
As a result of a TikTok.
They said, you're gonna love the way that feels.
I got really into like switches and like modding keyboards.
So, but there's a kind of built-in nostalgia to that aesthetic, right? Like, but actually I felt like your videos, I mean, remind me, was there like an analog component to how you film stuff, or was it all just pretty much like on your phone?
Oh, I actually never really shot on my phone. Maybe
what'd you shoot on?
I shot on a tiny Sony mirrorless camera. I think it's like RX100 or something. I'm not really a camera.
But was that camera like kind of contemporary, or was it kind of like an old school thing?
It was a contemporary camera at the time. Yeah. I bought it in 2016. I started shooting videos, I think, in 2015. So, yeah. And part of why I started shooting videos was because I ran out of space on my phone, and I found this hack through Facebook Messenger that you didn't have to, like, there was like imaginary space on my phone that wasn't being accounted for in general by going into Messenger and holding down the photo button, and it took a video. So instead of sending people pictures, I started sending them like 5-second videos, and then I started recording more.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I did shoot stuff with my phone, but I shot everything, almost everything that's like posted online with like a tripod and then that camera.
Yeah.
Or if I had a better camera, someone would shoot for me. Yeah.
So when you put it on a tripod, that opens up kind of a very obvious opportunity to do like jump cuts. Oh, this is boring. This took too long. So now, since the camera's static, I can jump it, right? Or I can speed it up in this way. It won't fuck up the image. And I guess I'm just curious. By the way, I had two things really quick. I want to talk about two things that you said before I forget. One, I love that you said that you're someone who creates more than they consume. Like, that is just such a thing that I think everybody has to understand and feel in their lives. The time you spend consuming shit takes up the time you could be spending making stuff. Now, I would recommend that most people don't make stuff because they're literally putting nothing out in the world, or like they're putting out a kind of a derivative of a whatever out in the world. If they have to express themselves, go ahead. I think that's the only reason to do it, not for any sort of like ulterior motive. I think a lot of people are driven by ulterior motives, but if they have to express themselves, I think that's very powerful, and then they should go ahead. But for the most part, we have to deal with this balance between consumption and creation, and it's like existential for, I think, a creative person to kind of balance that. And I don't remember the fucking other thing I was going to say. That one was such a flop. I don't even remember the second thing. So wait, keep going. So we're talking about cameras, tripods. So in terms of the editing style, which is really kind of, to me, one of the most unique elements of what you did, like, how did that manifest? Like, how did that like kind of evolve?
100% music videos. I love music videos. I watch them all day long. I'm like, I was like a MTV, like on the TV kid. So I just would play the same videos, and like, I was really into like when 106 and Park, like I was
yeah 106 and Park.
Yeah, like all that stuff to me like was so, it was just so intense. Like, there was a summer when I was 7 where you know, it was like every week we watched the same music videos on BET, and I remember it just never got old. Like, I would get familiar with what I was seeing. And then I think in particular, I would say like the music videos that affected me the most, well, the ones that I saw the youngest compared to the ones that I know now, are like probably just like hip hop music videos from the early 2000s. And so,
yeah.
Like,
so what stood out to you when you were 7? What was the big influence?
I would say there's a few videos, but there's this one video by the R&B singer Maya for the song My Love Is Like Whoa. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but
I don't know.
It changes outfits in the middle of dancing, and then there's kind of like this weird break where she just like puts on an entire different personality to do like a tap dance solo. And so like, music videos kind of play these like different rules than other films, right? Because it's a performance, it's a film, but then also you can change the music by like adding a narrative to the film. And then I would say that one is like maybe like a main influence on the editing. But the one music video,
when you say she was changing outfits, you mean it was like jump cuts that were her
yeah,
outfits
like she
were
would,
cha-
she every would turn around and her outfits have been different even though the scene didn't change. And I remember seeing this at a young and being like,
that's magic. Like,
that's so
amazing.
Cool. Yeah. And I would say the music video that had the most like well, there's two, but the music video that I would think, like, actually, they're both Busta Rhymes music videos, which I don't know if you've ever seen any of them.
Of course, I've seen many.
I mean, yeah, like, they're so creative.
The Hype Williams videos.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, even so, I'm not super familiar with directors and stuff like that. Yeah. It's more, like, for me, the feeling and, like, in I Know What You Want with Mariah Carey, where it's kind of like a comic book movie. Like, there's, like, scenes that are woven in that are animated throughout it. Another one that's good that's like that is, like, Break the Ice, Britney Spears, like, animated kind of going back and forth. So, yeah, I was kind of really into a lot of videos. Well, one thing that music videos do really well is, like, you can actually take elements from any genre of a film and bring it into a music video. It doesn't change how the artist is perceived because they're allowed to do something different for every single video. So it's like this weird,
as long as they look good, you know, like,
but also, you know, people don't necessarily have to look good too. Like, there's some really bizarre videos out there that don't
know. I know, but I was saying, like, if the aesthetic, you know, the thing about music videos is that, of course, you have to, I don't want to say be on brand with, like, an artist, but the artist has to feel excited and comfortable in the imagery, you know, and they have to kind of say, like, yeah, this is, like, what I want, even if they're not, they don't have any management or whatever, just the artist to filmmaker, you know, musician to filmmaker, they have to feel like, oh yeah, this is, like, the vibe I want to give out to the world.
Yeah, like, having that relationship. I do think
have you made some music videos?
Yeah, I've made a few. Like, I think
do you like that process?
I love it so much. I wish I was just making, like, I love, yeah, I wish I was just continuing to make music videos. They're so fun.
What would it take? What do you think it would take for you to become, like, a full-time professional music video director?
Well, I really like what I do for a living, and it's not videos, and it's
So
because of that, I I've had to come to terms in the past couple of years, like, as I, you know, like, on the later end of my 20s, that to really accept that I'm good at a lot of different things, and I want to be, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to just be good at one thing. So what I do for a living is, I think, is very in line with who I am personally.
What is that thing?
I do user experience for the library at New York University.
Okay, so that has to do with designing elements for how users interact with the website or how they use the library tools.
Yeah, I would say it's, like, more service design. So it's not so much, like, a look and feel thing. I'm not exactly a designer. I'm more like an information architect. So right now I'm working on basically a set of maps and working on a plan to roll out, like, what information is missing from these maps. And, like, I'm basically, like, solving people problems to solve, but in service design compared to, like, product design, which is more like buy something. Service design is, like, it's a little bit different, where, like, it can apply to physical spaces or something.
Yeah, there's almost something kind of architectural about it, where you're thinking about how people interact and feel in a space or in an informational kind of environment.
So I don't think that I would become a full-time film director, but I do want to make, I mean, I always want to make more videos. Lately, this year, I've been focusing more on, like, digital paintings, still self-portraiture. I mean, I was doing, like, animals and, like, lettering for months, and that was kind of fun, but then I started painting my nudes recently, and it's so fun. Like, it's way more
fun. But it's digital painting, so are you basically just kind of using tools to, like, turn photos into paintings, or are you just doing it from scratch? Are you still kind of painting from scratch? Yeah, got
painting
it.
From scratch, yeah. So I'm doing it in iPad. And I mean, I think with backgrounds, like, you can, if you want to have, like, really nice lines, you can trace some of the backgrounds. But, like, to be able to see the color, which is, like, what I'm trying to learn how to do better, like, to see exactly what I'm looking at, like, to better, I have to be, like, I can't be using any reference, like, you know, it's not modeled off of anything. It's, like, what I'm looking at directly.
Right, but it's, like, a mental tracing or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a lot of photographers, a lot of painters work off of photographs and stuff. It's pretty 20th century. par de course sort of stuff. So let me just take one step back. Two things. One, you said earlier that when you were editing those videos, it was extremely, you know, like time consuming. Is that like partly the reason why you're not kind of making videos like that anymore? Because it would really just take up hours and hours of your time to do this sort of like kinetic, over the top editing. And just to be clear, your biggest inspiration for that language were these videos that you saw. Those things kind of stuck with you as kind of like paragons of excellence. And then when you were like, I'm going to edit some stuff, it's like, I wanted to feel like those things felt to me. Right. Yeah. Is that kind of.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm trying to bottle a feeling in something that can be consumed pretty quickly because I'm trying to recreate the feeling of what I have. I mean,
You said a video is cool because it's like real life. And I want to say like, it's more than any other art form, but to me, it's kind of like real life plus, you know, because you can put a cool soundtrack over a video and you can like you can skip the boring parts with a video and you can make kind of poetic visual connections over time with the video. Whereas real life is just this kind of like, you know, mundane flow of like shit. You have to like really be sensitive to the moments of specialness.
I think it's not so much that it was like, if I have a very, I mean, the videos that I made this year, I think I've made a couple, if I remember correctly, but they've all been, I got really into this year making videos that were like, I made one short video, 2 minutes, and then another one, I think both around 1 minute long, where I just take pictures and then I string together stills. And then use music. And then, yeah, there's one I made this year where like...
You make those, right? You don't put them through like some sort of like iPhone slideshow. You've never used like algorithm technology or anything, right?
I never have. And you know, that's one of the things that when I think about some of the stuff I see now, like TikTok, like how people use these like jump cuts, like stuff that actually looks a lot similar to like my early stuff. I remember actually somebody telling me... some producer, he sent me a link to like TikTok before I had downloaded it, and he was like, oh, this is what your stuff is, but everyone's gonna be doing it. And this is like several years ago, and I remember being like, I don't know, I was such a, right, like, well, I don't know what a 21 year old is thinking about stuff like that, but I was like, oh, okay. But when I see that stuff now, first of all, nothing bothers me. I'm not a very jealous person. I kind of love it. Everything about
that's good. Me too. Art. It's important even not to be jealous.
Algorithmic shit is hilarious because it's like, that's the thing though, actually, about the algorithm is that it's trying to think like someone like me who like listens to the music and then like counts all the beats. I spent like 10 years in choirs and like music theory and stuff like that. And so like music and then like timing, like the rhythm between like music and then the sound and then dancing, like those are things that I'm pretty like obsessed with, and I feel like are really special areas that like no matter what, I'm gonna dance and it's gonna look good. Like I'm gonna edit something and it's gonna like look like mine because of that attention that's being paid to. And I think if an algorithm is being trained to think like that, which is like, okay, count the beats in this song, count the beats per minute, now split up the beats per minute, you know, split up the image,
right?
Like I think that you're right. It's like remembering that algorithm doesn't mean something that it's fake. It's trying to imitate something that is human. And if someone doesn't want to change anything about it, like that's their prerogative as an artist. I personally did make some TikToks that followed. Like the one thing about TikTok that's like really sexy and crazy and like addictive is that you watch the videos and then you want to end up making a video in the exact same theme that you're seeing. Like, I remember being like, wait, why am I making like a haul video of things I bought at the Japanese grocery store? I did this when I had TikTok for almost a year or less than a year.
Yeah.
And I posted it and I was like, why would I do that? Right. And it's sort of, that's the thing that I think strips away. Well, it's fun to look at, to see videos in the same format kind of.
Yeah. Genre, right. It's like it's an interest in a formula. And like once you become familiar with like a certain formula beyond its sort of surface level satisfactions, then seeing people who subvert it, right? Those are the things that then become exciting. And that's also, you know, the same thing with memes, right? There's like this base entry level thing about memes where it's like, haha, that's a funny format slash joke. And then when you get deeper in, you're like, oh, this person is sophisticated. They have actually subverted the like entry level knowledge of the meme. And that's potentially where like, the, you know, the sort of like second gen art comes from. But I'm actually super curious. I actually am really myself curious to find out if any of the other people I mentioned to you use algorithmic editing, like whether they actually have the, you know, are using tools that aren't just like their own like finger and mouse on a timeline, and how that influences their authorship and their expression. So that is something I'm going to explore, I think, when I talk to other people.
Yeah, I'm an extremely controlling person with my stuff, so I don't like, I just do it myself. And when I'm giving, I mean, there's the last music video that I did. When I watch it, when I look at it, I'm like, my eye twitches because I'm like very aware that like I let someone else do the VFX because of like a limit with me. And then also just like timing, like when it needed to get done.
But you edited it or someone else edited it?
I edited it and someone did VFX for it.
You can feel someone else's hand, someone else's DNA in it. Yeah.
And it really stresses me out. So, so at the time, I remember thinking, you know, before I think I had started, like, I think I finally got access to Premiere and I wasn't using like a cracked, like old ass version of Final Cut in like 2017. Totally. But then before that,
were you able to crack Premiere or were you end up paying for it and shit?
Well, I think
there was that moment where like Premiere became almost nearly impossible to crack.
I think I just had access through like a job or something,
or
like
college maybe or something.
I mean, yeah, now I can just like use it because like again, like through my job I have access to all these things. But yeah, it was, you know, like I had like a period of time where I was like, but you know, that's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because I think early on, when I was making stuff, I was just using iMovie and taking my stuff from iMovie. And with iMovie, like, there's a lot of weird presets, but, like, ultimately, it's just a cutting tool. And so that was all I was capable of. So I remember being like, okay, well, if the only thing that I can do is, like, cut stuff, then I'm going to make each single moment look really
interesting.
Yeah, and, like, so I would say... Yeah, like there's this music video that is a really incredible video for like a specific style that I feel like I've copied over and over again. It's the song Bailando by Paradiso. It's like this like really fast paced song. And it's like, I think there's like girls on a boat, but like, anyway, it's like very, you know, like there's like these use of like color, just like screens of color. And this is like, you know, like these are things that I picked up on from like MySpace layouts and like basic like photo editing, like when I was very little, about like using just like basic color to like create like an, you know, like an effect on something, and like using having the color, like the still of a color fading in and out. So I started thinking of these different ways to make images look interesting that didn't require so much like technical flexibility and knowledge, and ultimately just like, yeah, thinking about you know, images like textures, right? So like there are other videos that I made where like I wove in like a, you know, just like a huge transparent image of a texture that I see. And then kind of just like having that repeat every like half a second throughout the entire, all of the footage, right? And then I think like stuff like that's really exciting to me. But there was a certain time where I realized that if I had wanted to get deeper into video, I would have to do more than that. But now that is not the way I think about it anymore. In my most recent work that I've done, I do a lot of things with like just like transitions between images so that it looks like a moving image, but it's not.
But do you mean the recent things that are photos, still photos that you're putting together?
Yeah, so I actually, what ends up happening is like I'll be with my friends. I mean, they're actually just videos of hanging out with people or memories.
Yeah.
And that was like intentional, right? But usually what I'll say to my friend is I'll pass them my camera and I'll be like, don't stop shooting. And then I just tell them to like click like this and just do whatever.
Keep clicking.
Yeah. So they're just like getting all these stills and I'm going to throw them together, take out like anything that's like.
Why are you avoiding the video, using video?
I think because I got really into low shutter speed video style. Like I made one video that looked like that, but it was my favorite video I ever made, but nobody else was really that into it.
So I know. I tried to make a video like that too, and the artist wouldn't even release it. It had like a strobe on it, and it was like basically 2 frames per second. And I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah.
And they were like, this sucks. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's not, people don't think it was dynamic or anything. And I made this video in 2020 of me cleaning my apartment in that style and to a K-pop song. And it's still really moving quickly. But, you know, again, I actually still use that same format, is that if I'm going to get a slow video, how can I make it fast?
Interesting. And so yeah.
Do that is by using still images and shooting the whole time, because with video, once you have something that's sort of compact and compressed, it can kind of be hard to see individually the little steps.
Frames.
What is a video but just a bunch of images?
24 frames or 30 frames or 60 frames. So but if you were shooting in a higher like resolution camera, you know, you might be able to capture video and then get like high quality discrete frames, but then that involves a whole annoying ass process. I mean, you're saying you like to just have someone snap a zillion photos because all the photos are high quality enough for you to just pick out the moments, individual frames.
I also have like a big thing with shooting with anything I've shot. I tend to say something to someone like, I don't care, just shoot. And I'll pass them and I'll be like, it's your turn. Like all my friends, I'll say it's your turn. And they have no idea. But if you pass someone like a little, what I'm using now is like this little Olympus camera that has like amazing filters on it. Like there's like a soft focus filter I'm really obsessed with on it. It's so cute. And it's like less intimidating to be able to shoot with other people when they just think of it as like a casual photo.
Right. As opposed to sound. Once you bring in live, like real time and sound, suddenly people's brains start working. Suddenly they feel like they're being captured. And there is a lot of anxiety around video capture, I feel like now, because people are like, oh, this is actually a documentation of me, of my personhood in real time, as opposed to a photo, which is kind of just like a nice snapshot or something. And it's not like a photo isn't like a brand to manage, but like a 10-second video is suddenly becomes like, I have to be in control of my image.
Yeah. And I basically don't have camera anxiety. I just don't have it. So you know, I also think like when I'm hanging out with someone, like part, and I'm shooting, like whatever we're doing, part of the experience is also what they're seeing, right? And like something that offends me when I'm hanging out with people and I'm holding a camera is I don't take it from me. I'm just like, you don't feel the need to suddenly control what we're seeing by capturing it. But that's the thing with like using a certain camera or only taking pictures, is that I've said to people with my camera before, like, here, you can just take it for like the next hour, and like people just go away with my stuff.
And that's exciting for you, right? Because you're curious what they captured, right? You're almost like explorer, like kind of like whatever, like blind documentarian, because you're like, oh, what did they get? It's like fun for you as an editor, right?
It's fun. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just don't really take videos and most of filmmaking pretty seriously. Like I just never was able to take it seriously in a way where I felt like, because the thing is that I would get like without fail, every time I did a big shoot, I would get a little cold or something after.
You'd get sick.
I get overwhelmed, right? Like I think I'm more suited for work that is just a little like less stressful, you know, having everything ready for shooting. It's a lot of work.
It can be super stressful. Well, but I think also the energy of like having fun and hanging out is super apparent in your work and in your videos. And that's something that is extremely difficult to capture in a more formal environment, whether it's like a photo shoot or a film. Like, and that's something that I've been trying to capture in all my movies. Just like if the vibe and the feeling of people collaborating together on set is fun but creative, hopefully that comes through within the energy of the film. And but it's extremely challenging for sure. And I think part of the appeal of your work is that there is a kind of like self celebration, but also a kind of like celebration of fun, you know?
Oh yeah, fun is the number, like if anyone asks me what my videos have ever been about or any of my work in general, it's fun. That's the only
And that's how you felt watching those music videos, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is, she's having fun. Like her outfits are changing while she's dancing. She's having fun. And
yeah,
I think fun is hard to capture, but you know, I've never really thought about the style in which I make stuff is like, I actually am not trying to interrupt what's really happening. And so one of the early ways that I shot videos, like, I mean, now taking a picture and giving it to friends is a little bit different, but I actually just have tons and tons of footage of me turning, like, there's so many people that, like, I'll be hanging out with them and then they'll be like, oh my gosh, you're recording? And I'm like, oh, I've been recording for an hour. Like, I just have like hard drives and hard drives of like things that are recorded. I don't record anything and like, you know, like post things without people's knowledge. It's not like sus, but I'm very prone to like, I think I'm one of the last, I think maybe the last short film that I made like an outtakes reel. And so much of it was because instead of after you're done like shooting something, right? Like some of the funniest things ever happen. Like
totally.
Right, just like, you know, just like, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like
I keep rolling. I always keep rolling.
Exactly. And then like combing through that, and like sometimes it's really funny playing back a video and being like, oh, that's not what I remembered, but that is so hilarious. I can't yeah, it's like my own personal Instagram reels feed is like looking at really old footage and I'm just like, oh gosh, I mean, I'm never gonna make the movie out of this footage I made.
Yeah. Are you overwhelmed by having all this footage? I made this I shot this movie over the summer that was just me and a friend, and we drove cross country and I filmed like 24/7 on like 10 different cameras, and it was all in character the whole time. It was all like live cinema. So we were just doing these, like had these crazy encounters, but it's not like, oh, let's do it again for the camera. It's like, we're doing it. It's just real. And if it's fun and exciting, then cool. It'll probably make the movie. And if it's boring or awkward, then it won't make the movie. But you know, I have like whatever, like 24 times like 20s or whatever, 800 hour or 400, 500 hours of stuff. And it's like daunting to say the least.
I relate. I mean, definitely it sounds like your projects have just been so much longer, right? In general. So it's got to be a lot more footage. Like once you start making projects at like a certain length, like I guess rolling is.
Yeah, like, but also kind of like, when I've made music videos, I mean, the last basically like 10 music videos I made, I said, look, unless there's like a real budget, I'm just going to shoot this on my phone and please accept that, you know, great musician. And when I've been able to get away with it, I mean, that's just been really fun for me because it's like, it's just all fluid, you know, like you set it up, you shoot it and you edit it and it's over and it takes like a day or two and it's like real and easy. And well, I made a movie, you know, like, 13 years ago where it was just like this. It was like Skype conversations back when Zoom was called Skype. And it was just real time conversations with people. And I would shoot it in the morning from like 9 a.m. to like 3 p.m. And then I would edit it from like 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then we would release it that night. And then I would do it again the next day and the next day. And it was like, you know, like a, basically I'd have like 4 hours of footage and I turned it into like an 8-minute video or something like that, you know?
I think like going shorter is always better. I mean, I've always been told, I mean, I remember one time I got, like it lives in my mind, some of the really nasty messages I've gotten. But you know, one of them said something like, oh, like are you ever going to like take any of your filmmaking seriously, or are they always going to be these like narcissistic like vignettes of like basically nothing? And my reaction to that was to just make like way more of those like vignettes of like nothing, right? Like selfie videos that were so
sounds like a weird jealous person who has no style, or like a loser guy trying to nag you.
I mean, like either way, right? Like I remember stuff being like, huh, like I mean because I feel like I don't think I knew. Like now that I can look back at it and be like, oh, all of this stuff mattered and was important and was good. Like I liked it all, you know, like I was going out with a really young artist last night who is just starting to release some of her music. She's like 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. Or something. Not that far away from me, but 20s are like dog years, right? Like a totally different lifetime being 23. But, you know, she was saying like, oh, like what, you know, she like kind of wanted advice about like what she should put out and not put out. And I was like, whatever you think is your worst thing you've ever made, like that's someone's favorite thing.
I agree.
So just like put out all your shit all the time.
I agree. My worst movie that I don't like, everybody likes. And I'm like, what right. the hell? So, that makes me feel like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But it also is kind of like, I'm glad it exists, you know?
That's what I mean though, right? Like, so it's like, I'd like to think that I knew what I was going for, but I think most of my art has just been like a reaction to how I feel about things. And yeah. I think a lot of that has just resulted in like various forms of self-expression using like my actual being, or like trying to get a feeling, or like trying to make like a joke. I mean, I think for like several videos, I have like a running character of like the Grim Reaper. Okay. And like, that came from nothing. I have no idea where that came from,
yeah.
but it started, I guess, like 7 years ago with a video I made where I put on a Grim Reaper outfit and I asked a bunch of people with a fake microphone if they wanted to die.
Yeah.
And then I like made more offshoot videos with this Grim Reaper outfit.
Well, you had the outfit, so that's where it came yeah. from.
Well, the irony is that like two years later, I got a mask, right? Like I didn't have the mask of
yeah.
like a scream mask, right? But like, yeah. like you know, it was just, like things like that. Like I cannot explain. I never saw it anywhere. Even now, I don't really know what that's about. But like, I just every single time I think about that, I'm like, it's so funny. Like the Grim Reaper.
Well, I do think a lot of filmmaking and a lot of creativity does come from just like what is available to you or limitations and stuff. Like you were talking about like, oh, I just happen to be editing an iMovie because the only thing I had access to. So I was going to make every single edit count because that's the only thing you were capable of doing in that program. So that limitation helps create a style. You know, like the reason Godard came up with those jump cuts in Breathless because the producer was like, this movie needs to be 20 minutes shorter. I'm not going to fucking release it. It's like, okay, I don't know how to make it shorter. I guess fuck you. I'll just get rid of like the middle of scenes, you know? Right. And so these sort of demands or these sort of limitations lead to creative decisions that end up being, you know, radical or end up being like a theme, like, oh, the Grim Reaper is suddenly something interesting because I have a fucking costume, you know?
It's so random, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's definitely been a huge part of, I mean, one time I did a performance at a gallery, and the week before that, before the performance, they put out some text about mm-hmm. what my performance is about, and I never told them anything that it was about because crazy. I didn't know until it was over what it was
yeah.
about. And so I wrote them and I was like, you got to strip that. Like, I don't yeah. know what you wrote, but that's not my stuff. And they're like, yeah. I don't have anything to write. And I was like, no, I'm going to find good. Out when I get there what I'm
yeah. performing. Yeah, like, that sounds like a real artist. You know, this whole like impulse and like demand that an artist like put down in words, like what the fuck they're doing or what it means or whatever, it's evil. And it actually like devalues the performance or the art itself. And right. it puts like a fake posturing to something that could actually be like beautiful and emotional and like, and intelligent. It like dumbs it down, you know, so someone can read, you know.
I agree completely. Well, I mean, definitely about dumbing it down, because I think one of the things that I know for me, and it sometimes, I mean, I guess it has given me insecurity sometimes, but I don't really know why I do anything that I do artistically. Like, I don't actually know. I might say like I'm having fun, like,
or this looks cool.
Yeah, like we're like, this looks cool. I'm having fun. This felt really good to do it. Like in a video I made, I really wanted eggs smashed on me. I had eggs smashed on me in another video, and I was like, I just want eggs. I'm allergic to eggs, so.
Oh, you are. Yeah. Well,
love getting.
That's more for your psychotherapist.
I love like eggs, like egg colored things.
I love eggs too. I put eggs in. Like there was a period where I put eggs in all my music videos. I would set all these like treatments out. Like the opening credits for my show Feast of Burden is like an egg being like cooked super fast and stuff. So I love them.
Exactly, right? Yeah. It's like, I don't know why, and I don't think other people know why either. And if you're pretending to know why, then it's like, ah, what's the point? Like, I want art to be fun. I want it to be something different from what, as you were saying, like in the beginning, like what regular life is, right? It's
yeah.
not, it's just not as fun as like the random or like totally yeah. unexpected things you can do, right, with videos, and like you're just creating like a fake world and then you're recording it, like
like this diaristic element is very interesting to me. Like you take the experiences you have with your friends, like someone that I had on this show before, Josh Ovi, who was in one of my films and is actually in my new film, he was a big Viner, so he was doing a lot of stuff Vine. Then when Vine ended, he actually just started recording him and his friends for YouTube, but they would be hanging out. But then at certain points, he would very kind of organically and unexpectedly like turn it into like a sketch or like a skit, or like people would suddenly not be themselves, but they would be characters, or they would suddenly, their new kind of personas would emerge from just like natural hangs. And I felt like this was a very interesting kind of fluid style that everyone kind of relate to, the kind of performativity in our day-to-day lives. Why couldn't it become fictional? Why? Because we are performing all the time, and the sense of performing has become so conflated with just like natural day-to-day interactions that why couldn't things suddenly become fictional or absurd, you know? And his work really has fun with that. And I feel like, you know, there must be some element of like, oh, well, they just did all these snapshots, but now I'm going to transform it into what I think is like interesting or aesthetic or fake or fun or whatever, right?
Yeah, I think you can get a lot out of shooting things that are just already happening. And there was mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. shooting things in the beginning.
Totally.
Like when I started some of the early videos that I made that I'm not even sure are online anywhere. But I would just, I'm really into recording myself cleaning or like doing very basic activities. And when I started posting things like that, people were watching that. And it's like, I think people really underestimate that like someone has an appetite for literally every kind of video.
Yeah, I mean, it is the like number one relationship between a viewer and a piece of moving image art is voyeurism. You know, just this ability to like look into someone else's life. And I think that the phone and devices have, and social media has completely recalibrated that. And movies don't really explore it. And I'm interested in exploring it as a filmmaker, just kind of new voyeuristic access points. Like whenever I'm in New York, one of my favorite things to do is stand on the train and like look over someone's shoulder while they use their phone. You know, like that is...
What are they doing?
They're playing fucking Temple Run, or they're just like texting their boyfriend, or they're like, you know, like fucking writing a mean comment, or like just double tapping endlessly, scrolling one post, double tap.
I watched someone on the train today use TikTok, and it was really fascinating.
TikTok or watch TikTok?
They were watching TikTok, and it was just video after video of the same woman showing different hairstyles, but each one was like way too close. Like she was too close to the camera to see the hairstyle.
Yeah.
I was just like, now I know that someone watches that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And I've tried to kind of incorporate that into my movies, just the inherent voyeurism of seeing someone else's phone, which feels simultaneously transgressive and also like very common. You know?
I saw over the weekend, I saw like a new Molly Soda piece at, I think it's Public Works. I think they had like this 2-day installation thing, but it was just like kind of like in a recessed corner, a massive screen with an Instagram live of her dancing, which of course, like, you know, it made me start thinking about like dancing live.
Yeah.
But it was like really like life size, like screen. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Yeah. Cause it gave that same feeling of like, I mean, this is what you're doing on your phone, but like really big, so everyone can see that you're staring at
life size. No, but just seeing that vertical format in different contexts helps us understand that the screen and storytelling and art is moving in a different direction and has been for like a long time, honestly. Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, this was fun.
It was nice to connect. I hope you in the coming years and decades have many more opportunities to make the stuff that excites you and is fun for you, because it's fun for me, you know, as a viewer and as a lover of film. I you know, the more videos you make, the more cool it is in my mind.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's totally inspiring.
Well, thanks for talking to me about it, and hopefully you know, everyone enjoys our conversation and stuff. I'll actually let you go, and I'll wrap this up. So for my show, I'm gonna wrap it up. So
go ahead. Okay,
bye. Bye. Yep. Well, thanks, Mia, for doing that. So let's just call this the first episode of several covering this topic of kind of new, maybe we can call it kind of hyperpop cinema, nouvelle vague of the young girl or something like that. I don't really know what to call it. Maybe by the end of all these conversations, I can figure out like a cool, catchy name. And I guess in the earlier part of that conversation where Mia asked me who I was thinking of that kind of works in a similar vein or in a lineage of her videos, those are some of the people I'll be talking to in the coming weeks and stuff. So I hope you enjoy it and I hope you find it interesting and look up Mia's work, which I maybe include in the video version of this episode. And I want to also say, just apologize to everyone who's a subscriber for not posting for so long. I like honestly was making movies and had to, otherwise I would go mentally ill because I hadn't really made a movie in 3 years. So I spent basically the last 8 months making 3 films that I hope will see the light of day. And I'm excited to share with all of you. And I hope you forgive me and understand why the show hasn't been very active at all, but I anticipate and I will do my very best to make it active once again and explore some of these filmmaking styles and filmmakers that are exciting to me and hopefully exciting and instructive to everyone else. All right, hope you're having a great day. And I forgot the catchphrase, but I'll just say it my way. And I'm sure Mia feels the same way. You keep watching them. We'll keep making them. All right. This has been another episode of Director's Commentary. Thank you. Bye.
There's a style of video that's become super popular.